David said, it is good to come to the house of the Lord. It was good to worship Him, to give Him praise. And, you know, our whole purpose, a reason for being here every Sunday, but particularly on this weekend and on this Sunday, is to come with thanksgiving to God. And I hope you brought that today. No one can bring it for you. And it comes from your heart, right? About being grateful, and it's about thinking about what God's done in our lives. And, man, what I find, what happens is, as I start singing that song, as that theme starts to play off in my life, then there's more grateful things that happen, right? Sometimes it starts with just one thing, and then it kind of explodes into a number of different things. And I had this picture in my head this morning that it's kind of like, I just see this picture of these two little girls, and one's got a whole bouquet of flowers, and the other one has just one. And the one who just has one is just kind of miserable. Things aren't going very well, and she's not happy with her life. And she has really nothing, didn't even want to give the one. She doesn't even want to give the one flower of gratitude, and she drops it along the way. But the other little girl has this just a bouquet, and she can't wait to bring it. You know, it's just full of gratitude. It's full of praise. And there's just, you know, dozens of flowers in that bouquet, and she just wants to offer it to her God. And that's what we want to do today. We want to just offer it to God. We have so much to thank God for. He is so faithful. He takes care of every part of our lives. How many of us have had our prayers? You know, we've cried out to Him, and He's heard our prayers. And I know there's going to be testimony of that in just a few minutes, because, you know, it's not up to me to speak your gratitude. It's up to you to speak your gratitude. So we're going to do that a bit later on, just sharing the thanks and just saying, here, God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing in my life. But we start thinking about it, and it kind of is like that domino thing. You know, one thing leads to the next, and I start thinking about the blessings in my life. I start thinking about the prayers that God has answered. I start thinking about where He's brought me, the journey. I don't know what your journey's been like, but my journey's been a little bit like a roller coaster. But I'm thankful today for where I'm at. I'm thankful for the calling God's given me. I'm thankful for my friends and my church family and my community. I'm just thankful that He's a God who heals and He restores. He really does. He's restored me, and all I can say is praise God. Thank you for doing that. It struck me this weekend and yesterday when people were talking about gratitude on the radio, and I've seen it on television too, that, you know, everyone, it's funny, hey, isn't it, that we have a Thanksgiving weekend. There's something odd about that when you don't know God. Because if you don't know God and you don't know where to direct your praise and thanksgiving, it's just sort of, there's something missing. There's something huge missing. It's kind of like, I was explaining this to Crystal yesterday, I was just thinking about that it's kind of like having a bow and arrow, and you know you got to shoot it, you know? You got to shoot it, and it's sort of like people who have this gratitude. They know they got to be thankful, and they have to be happy, and they need to just say thanks, but they don't have a clue where to shoot it, right? So just boom, they just let it go off, you know? Thank heavens, they say, or you know, thank goodness, or thank my lucky stars. You don't know where to thank. Where are you gonna aim that gratitude, right? Thank God that I know where my gratitude aims, right? Man, I know exactly where to point the gratitude. I know exactly who to give thanks to. I know exactly who is the source of my joy and who is the source of my life. Welcome. I know, you know, this is not just shooting off into the wherever. This is directing our praises to the living God. He is eternal King. He alone, you know, the lucky stars and thank heavens, whatever, those things don't deserve our gratitude. Only God does. So let's share some things today. Maybe, Alvin, you'll grab a mic from the back there. We'd like to be able to hear each other and just grow together. And later on, we're coming to the Lord's Supper. I just ask you to keep this brief, because I know there's a lot of things. We don't need to tell long stories. Just say what God's doing and what you're thankful for. I already did mine, so I did some of mine.
Here's one.
Okay.
I'm just really thankful to the Lord for healing my body. I got healed last Sunday.
Amen.
From a lot of aches and pains.
Yeah, let's thank God. Yeah. No. Alvin, give her back the mic, okay? Because you're not done.
Oh, aren't I? Okay, what?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. last night we had our Thanksgiving dinner and with our kids and grandkids and that, and we were sitting around afterwards. I don't even know how it started, but the kids who have all walked away from the Lord, and our daughter who said she just didn't want anything to do with God, they were all talking about the Lord.
Wow.
And in a very positive way. And they really got into a good conversation about it, and all our kids talked about it, even our grandson, even our son-in-law.
Wow.
And that's never, ever happened.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so God's really softening their hearts.
Amen.
And really working in them, healing. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, Loy. I knew you weren't done. That's good news. We pray, you know, every Sunday night, we often pray for your children and for all children and for many, you know, who are related to us who don't know God yet. That's such an important thing. Go ahead, Loy.
So everybody knows that I've had cancer for quite a while. And I got my latest scan about a week ago. And for the first time in 7 years, I have no tumors, no issues. So I got cause to be very grateful.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my personal Savior. Mm. He's helping me.
Yes.
He helped me last night not take a drink.
Yeah.
The first time, and it's going to be like that for the rest of my life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
I love you, too.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's what we're doing here. Come on, you guys. Get fired up. You can't say thank you to God.
Amen.
You're next, Jeff. Go ahead, Rick.
I just want to thank God for his patience. I know a lot of us want Jesus to return, but God has his timing, and if he came now, a lot of people would go to hell. And we just know that he has his right time, and he's being patient, and he just wants us to be saved, and he wants us to save as many as we can.
Amen.
I'm grateful to the Lord. Grateful for his sustaining me this far in my life. I'm grateful for the witness opportunities, because there's just times I don't feel, you know, just don't feel worthy to share his words, and then he just pours it out, and people listen.
Yeah.
You know, he brings those with ready hearts. And then he performs miracles and signs and wonders. It's just so amazing, but just so grateful for him.
Yeah. Give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you. Good morning. God is good. He brought me here today. Yesterday wasn't so hot. But the reminder of what healthcare is about. It's been a troublesome few weeks, months, but he gives me blessings.
Yeah.
Above all that pain, and it is my leg that's always been giving me trouble, makes me shake. People have all kinds of assumptions, and I have to live with it. And it's like 15 years since a terrible accident, trauma, and he's given me strength the whole way.
Amen.
It's feeling valuable, feeling worthy, worthwhile. And he gives that to me too.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But my body was in a terrible mess. And it's being repaired. And I don't even know exactly how it works. But he's bringing me that too.
Amen. Thank you, God.
In ways I don't even know.
Thank you, God. Alvin, pray for Rob.
Thank you, Lord.
Would you pray for him?
Father God, I just thank you for my brother Rob, Lord God. And I just pray that continued healing into his soul, man, into his body, Lord God. We just ask in Jesus' mighty name that favor would pour down from heaven above upon my brother. And that he would experience such an anointing and a revelation and healing, most of all, Lord God, a physical healing in his being, in Jesus' mighty name. And thank you for his testimony, Lord God, that he's a faithful man of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to say on the Thanksgiving when we praise him and exalt him and worship him, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, Paul said, I didn't come in word only, but I came in power with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need the word, the love letter from God, but we need the Holy Ghost too. And he will talk to you if you reach out to him and constantly praying to him and saying, come into my presence, and he will.
Yeah. Bless you. So thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, for your spirit that lives in us. Yeah, okay, go ahead, Leanna.
Okay. I can't really stand, I'm sorry. I had surgery on my knee, and that's what I'd like to start with. I waited for 15 years for somebody to do something with my right leg. 3 months ago, I had a knee replacement, and I got to tell you, that really hurt. That really hurt. And I prayed and prayed for the Lord to take it away, and it took a little longer than I thought, but at least he did, and I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. That I can get up and walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finally I'm up walking, doing stuff, feeling a little bit better. And I thank God. It's only God that did that.
Yeah, amen.
And so what else am I thankful for? I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my church.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for my spouse and my beautiful children. And I'd like to pray over my children. They are in an abusive situation. And for that, I am not thankful. But I'm thankful that God's with them.
Amen.
That's what I'm thankful for.
That's good news.
And I'm thankful that today I'm actually out walking around and enjoying a beautiful autumn day. So thank God for grace and mercy every day.
Amen. Okay, Ryan.
The Lord has been working in my life for a long time. But I didn't see it. It's been one tragedy, one trauma after another, after another, after another, after another. And the night never ended. Mm. The nightmare never ended. It just kept going and going and going. And I started losing hope that it would end. I felt like I was going to be stuck in this eternal nightmare.
Mm.
But the dawn is breaking.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The sun is rising.
Amen.
And the nightmare is ending.
That's right.
And God has answered my plea.
Yes.
He's answered my prayers. And I praise him.
Yeah.
And I thank him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hi, folks. I'm back.
Amen.
The gypsy is back. And I got a lot to thank the Lord for. Bad accident, heart attack. I died in the ambulance. The Lord brought me back. I died in the hospital. He brought me back. I wouldn't listen to him. I'm not supposed to be working. I went to work. I did it again. I'm the gypsy. I always have to follow me.
Mm.
Well, I made that mistake. Way back, and that's an old war story. But I've come back to my church family, my real family.
Amen.
Wonderful daughter, son-in-law. Yeah, he's great. I just really want to be back in the Lord's stream.
That's right.
Left bridge, but I'm coming back. because the Lord wants me here.
Amen.
I'm back, the gypsy's gone.
Amen.
Lots that I need to be thankful for. I've been clean for many, many years. Mm. He's brought me a wonderful, two wonderful children, and a wonderful, absolutely amazing man in my life to help me raise them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know earlier, a month ago, I had told you guys that my oldest daughter went to go live with her dad, and she's striving out there. She's doing very well. It's hard, but one thing that God is showing me through these Monday night services, I encourage everybody to come to them. It was squeaking. these Monday night services that we're going through with Katie Sozo, Souza, or however you say her last name, is absolutely amazing because God is revealing things right from when I was a child in my mother's womb. And it's healing my heart, but I'm learning also with my daughter. If I didn't let her go and take that act of stand of obedience that he was asking me to do, he couldn't do what he's doing in my life right now. And I don't know where he's taking me, but I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm not angry at him. I'm not. I'm accepting of his love. I've always been afraid to let man or any woman love me. I've always put barriers up, including towards God. And those walls are crumbling. You know, the only person I really let close to me is Jason and Mom, Kathy. And God showed me that there's so much more people that want to love me. And it's quite amazing. Yes, you too, my boy. So I just thank God for that. It's just amazing.
You say amen? Thank you, Lord. We have time for a few more.
Just say ditto on what you said about Monday nights. This healing the wounds of your soul. My life is changing rapidly from that class. I encourage everyone to come that can. It's free. I'm really grateful. And I'm just going to keep passing that on to people. And the things that have happened to me, you know, diverticulitis is going to be a thing of my past. Amen. And I know why I've had it too now. So praise God.
Thank you, God. Mick, stand up, Mick, so we can see you. There you go.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I said that I was celebrating my 7th year of Jesus, and I got to stand corrected. I thought I was turning 57. I'm only turning 56. So he's added another year to my life.
Hallelujah. So,
and I just like to say that if you know the day that he called you, he called me on my 50th birthday. I woke up and he called me. So I know when to celebrate each year with him. And if you have that, I'd like to thank him for that because I know when to celebrate with him. Getting another year older, not so much, but celebrating the birthday of him, very great.
Amen. 6 years. Born again, 6 years. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We give him praise, right? Thanks be to God. Be grateful. Lift up your hearts.
I'm really thankful. I've got tears, but they're happy tears. God's healing my broken heart and bringing beauty out of the ash heap. And I'm experiencing the intimacy of Jesus like I've never experienced it before. He's such an amazing God, and Amen. He cares about everything that we're going through. And my best days are yet to come because of him, and I'm really, really thankful. I'm learning a lot about forgiveness and letting go of control. I called my sister a couple days ago, and I haven't talked to her in 4 years, and we just got to keep forgiving and keep pushing in. And
that's right.
God is so good, and he loves us, and he bottles all of our tears. And some of the worst things that we can go through, he wants to turn them into his glory. And
exactly.
So I'm just really, really thankful. He is a great, great God, and there's nothing he can't do.
Everyone says, thank you, Lord, right? Sure.
I just want to praise God for being in my life. Mm. I've dealt with a lot of fear in my life, and sometimes I don't sleep because I'm afraid. And so I've learned to just ask God to put his protection around my home. Mm-hmm. And then you might think this is crazy, but I ask God, Father God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ to crawl into bed with me And, you know, I've been able to sleep, so God's dealing with a lot of fear in my life that I've experienced. So praise God.
Amen. I'm going to pray for you.
Okay.
Thank you, God. We are so thankful that you are real and that you're near us and that you are the one who alleviates the fears. And I know that Joyce isn't the only one with fears in this room. The enemy uses fear against us, and he wants us to be ravaged and dominated by those fears. And a lot of them are irrational, but sometimes there are real things in our lives that we really are afraid of. And right now, and just in the name of Jesus, and because of your blood, Lord, we pray that you would take those fears away, and that perfect love, yes, God, your perfect love would cast out those fears. Thank you for Joyce. Lord, give her peace. And that's what happens, Lord, when you take the fear away, is you just let that stream, you let that river of peace just flow into our lives. Thank you that you do that, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Annie.
This past couple of weeks, I've been going through a rough time, and I've been shutting people out of my life. God has shown me that there's a lot of forgiveness that I need to do. I started this morning with a most amazing, beautiful woman who's been there for me, and I've been shutting her out, and it's not fair to her. I'm grateful that God has shown me that depression is not bad, because I'm leaning more into him than I am on myself. So far, I'm doing it with one pill. There's no suicide thoughts. There's just give me the Bible and just let me pray and give me peace. And that's what he's done. And for that, I am eternally grateful.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's one more here. Okay. I'll let you do the walk because I'm tired.
Two years ago in November, actually in September, the Lord pressed me on my face because I quit my job. I was mad at my coworker, and I just had a fit and quit. But it had been a long time working with her, but I just finally had had enough, and I quit. And so starting that day, I started fasting and praying and seeking the face of the Lord and saying, God, where do I go? Where do I go? Where do I go? And finally on day 31, he spoke Red Deer, Alberta. And so I called my friend all excited, and I said, guess what? I'm going to Red Deer. And so she began to pray, and she found out about this church. And I'm so grateful for this body of believers. Like, I'm just so grateful because you guys are walking the walk, and you don't just talk. You walk the walk. And it's real, and it's dirty and messy sometimes, but it's real. And like, we puke our stuff all over the floor, but we clean it up, and we're better for it. And I'm so grateful for all of you.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful to the Lord for honoring me by bringing me here, because it's been so awesome. And I've been seeking the face of the Lord over these last couple weeks, trying to get discernment, and I'm so thankful. This past weekend, he started to show me stuff, and I'm just, like, I came here just all excited because things are starting to finally gel, and I'm just grateful to be alive, to be just grateful.
Amen. Let's give God a big hand. Let's say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are my God. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Amen. Woo. Barb, would you lead us in prayer? Yeah. I didn't see his hand up. Sorry.
Good morning. My name's David. I'm visiting from Regina. Ted and Anita are my mother and father-in-law. And I just want to say that there's a couple things I want to say, but it's really encouraging, and I'm really grateful to hear all of the testimonies of what God is doing in the lives of so many people here and that so many people want to share. I'm very grateful to have really solid, good relationships with not only my immediate family, my in-laws, my parents. I have a wife and two young children I'm very grateful for. I'm thankful for health. I'm really thankful that we live in a free country. I think of, and I see so much on social media, what's happening in Iraq and Syria, and you know what's happening in many other countries like China. I'm so glad that we can freely and openly worship, and without that fear of having to worry about who's going to come bursting in the door and take us away, or our kids, or what they're going to do to us. I just also wanted to say that I think that when we are grateful to God, I think that when we give the Lord thanks, even on behalf of what He's done in other people's lives, even if we haven't seen Him work in the area that we need Him to work in yet, if we are grateful and praise God on what He's doing in other people's behalf, it opens us up to receive more from the Lord and the things that we need. So I just wanted to encourage you with that this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Can you just pray? Just pray and pray for the word and pray, thank God.
Fellowship that came on. Thank you.
No, it didn't. Go ahead.
Okay, we thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship, yes. Lord, with the fellow believers, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of meeting in your name, Lord. We just thank you. God, we humble ourselves before you, and we thank you, God, for the blessings that you pour out in our lives, Lord. They're so precious. Help us truly look around today, God, at our family, friends, leaves, backyards, dogs, ducks, whatever brings us pleasure, Lord. Help us just see the hand of God in our lives and be thankful, Lord. Thank you that we do live in Canada. That's been impressed upon me too the last few days, Lord. We are so grateful to wake up, Lord, to a place where there's no guns and war and terror, Lord. We thank you that we can sleep in peace, Lord. Yeah. We ask for your presence over this congregation, Lord. We thank you, God, for Stan and his wife, and we just pray they would have a blessed Thanksgiving, and we pray for the word, Lord, that it would penetrate any hardness in our hearts, Lord, that we would be soft before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Barb. And all the people said, amen. I said a couple minutes ago that really the height of our service today, the pinnacle of it will be when we come to the Lord's table. And we always listen to God's word, and He leads us to His table, and He reminds us about gratitude. But it's such a blessing to be able to surround the table of the Lord. And, you know, we're told that it's a cup of thanksgiving. And we're told that when Jesus broke the bread the first time, this is in 1 Corinthians 12, that He gave thanks. And then He broke it and He gave it to His disciples. And we are, you know, this is all preparation. We're preparing our hearts to come and to stand in a circle and to be one body and to eat from one loaf and to be grateful people, right? We can be grateful. We can also be grumblers. It's kind of a choice that we make with our hearts. We choose to recognize what God's doing, or we choose to not recognize it and just find what's wrong with everything around us. And the reality is, it's really easy to find what's wrong. If you want to, even here, not even here, but I mean especially here, it's easy to find out what's not working, or to be disappointed or to be discouraged. You want to see what's wrong with this place? It doesn't take a university degree. You'll figure that out, you know, real simple. There's lots of stuff wrong here. But there's lots of stuff that's right here because God is here and He's moving and He is healing, and we're hearing that, right? I mean, I just celebrate the testimonies. I really do. Sometimes I catch a cold from you. You breathe on me, or if you're in the kitchen, I have my coffee cup, and once in a while someone sneezes and I actually watch it. You know, I usually throw it out when that happens unless I really need my coffee. No, I know. I always throw it out. My point is, sometimes we, you know, we'll give each other a virus, but, you know, gratitude kind of works in that way too, that when I hear your gratitude, my gratitude swells. So I can catch thankfulness from you. I am more thankful when I'm living in a community of grateful people. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? It was kind of a gross metaphor and analogy, but that's all I'm trying to say. I am more grateful when I'm around you guys because you keep pointing me to Jesus, and you keep reminding me of what God is doing and not what he isn't doing. This morning, as we get prepared to come to God's table, he's opened up for me this week the words from Hebrews chapter 12, and I just invite you to open your Bibles. It will also be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, and so you have to understand, we're going to start reading here, and I want to say a few words about what God's word says here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, just sort of to kind of explain this a little bit before I read it, but you know, this is a book that was written to the Hebrews, which is why it's called Hebrews. And so there's a lot of Old Testament analogies, a lot of going back to some of the stories in the Old Testament. And the story that is being highlighted here is the story of what happened at Mount Sinai when Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And we know that story. We're familiar with it. But you got to know that the Hebrews really knew that story. This was like one of the stories that was just a highlighted. It was a very, very important event. It was when the law was given to Israel, and when Moses went up the mountain, and that the Lord showed his holiness, that God showed that he is a powerful God, and that he shook, we're told, he shook the mountain itself. In fact, let me just start with reading that. I wasn't going to, but I will. And just listen to this. This is in Exodus 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, and with a thick cloud over the mountains, and a very loud trumpet blast, everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. Wow. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So keeping that in mind, read now with me in Hebrews 12, verse 18, where we read this. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. So he's painting that picture, right? This is Sinai. He says, that's the old mountain. That's the mountain where the law was handed down. You've not come to that mountain. You have not come to the mountain that can be touched and that's burning with fire. To darkness, you have not come to darkness, to gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. Because they could not bear what was commanded. They could not bear the law. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But, and here's good, I'm glad he goes on here, right? You have not come to that mountain. That's what, you getting that? That picture? That's not the mountain. That's Sinai. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, and to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Wow. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised that once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, here's the good news. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen? Ooh, isn't that something? Isn't that a great passage? I mean, and I needed to kind of put it into context so you understand why he's writing this. And he's writing, you know, he's writing to an audience who are Hebrews, and he's bringing back that picture of Mount Sinai and the trembling and the fear and the law and all the things that we could never do. We could never be good enough. We could never keep the law good enough. And that God was unapproachable. And if you even touched the mountain, or if one of your animals touched the mountain, it had to be put to death. He says, that's not it anymore. Not because of Christ. This is really good news. Really good reason to be grateful. Not because of Christ. Not because he is a mediator of a new covenant. Now because his blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, the innocent, you know, who was killed by his brother. Now because of Jesus Christ, you come and you can approach God with confidence. You can approach the throne, he says to the Hebrews earlier on. He says you can approach the throne of God with boldness. You can come to the Father through Jesus because he's made a way for you to do that. Isn't that great? And so, focus on these words. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I want to try to understand God's word today and what it means that our God is a consuming fire. Because there's something about that that's scary. And ought to be. Especially if you don't know Christ and if you aren't part of that new covenant. There's something scary about a God who's a consuming fire because it speaks of his righteousness and it speaks of his judgment. And the thing of it is that really there's a promise being made here. And I know we sometimes talk about the promises of God and we're all gung-ho about them. You know, oh, thank God for God's promises are yes and amen, right? Well, let me tell you what God's promise is here today. His promise is that he's going to shake things up. He says this is a promise. I'm not just sort of putting this out there. I'm telling you that it's going to happen, is what God says. I'm going to shake not only the earth, which is what I did at Sinai, but when I shake things up, I'm going to shake up the earth and the heavens. And this is a promise that you can count on. Because I am a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. I want to just try to explain some of the aspects of the fire to start with. That the idea that God is a fire really has a number of different elements to it that I think are helpful to us. And they're not all meant to be scary. Like I said, we do need to understand there's a part of this which is judgment. There's a part of this where God says, you need to turn to me. You know, there's a time when you need to believe in me. God so loved the world. Yes, he loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish. But that needs to happen. There needs to be that faith that comes from us where we accept the love that God has offered through Jesus Christ. But there's other aspects of the fire that we can celebrate today. And the first thing is that the fire of God really speaks of his righteousness and his holiness. And that is saturated in this passage, that God's a holy God. Not sure that we really understand that today like we ought to. That God is holy. He is altogether pure. He's without sin. He is righteous and sovereign. That God is perfect and pure in every way, right? And the fire speaks to the holiness of God. And that he won't put up with anything that is unclean. He's a God who purifies. The fire is a purifier. And as we know from some of the songs we sing and other scriptures, that the fire of God is also a refining process. And some of us, you can put your hand up, you know, have been through that refining fire. It's just me? Okay. Me and Jonathan. Right? Like, so understand, we need to see that. I'm trying to show you today on the basis of God's word that the fire, there's a lot of elements, there's a lot of aspects to the fire. It's not just judgment, but it's also about the refining process that happens in our lives. Some of you are going through that right now, and you're wondering, you know, I think about what you shared earlier, Ryan, but there's others too. What's going on in my life? How come I'm going through these struggles? Why does everything seem so hard? Why are my prayers not being answered right now? Because I want them answered right now, because that's my timetable. And a lot of times it's because God says, I am going to burn out of you what needs to be burned out of you. I am a righteous God. I burn with fire, is what he says. I am the Holy One of Israel, and I want you to be holy too, and that will mean that you may need to go through this refining process. And some of you have been doing that. Atlanta, you've been doing that. I don't hope you don't mind me putting this out, but I just tell the truth, or I try to, right? You're going through it, girl. I know it. And I know it's in and out, and there's hard things, but it's because of that refining process. And I know I'm speaking to you, but I hope others are hearing this too. God wants to refine you. He's going to return to you what's been taken away. He will. He really will. But God wants you pure, and he wants all of us pure. And that's why when it says that God is a consuming fire, it's a good thing. He wants me to be righteous. He wants me to be holy. He says, I call you to holiness. Just as I am holy, you be holy. And the only way that's possible, you'll never be good enough. You can never do enough good things. The only way that's ever going to be possible is if you receive Christ and if the blood covers you. The blood of Christ needs to take away all your sins. Amen? If you turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Again, back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Doug says it's Jesus' favorite book, and it's probably true. He does. He quoted more from that than from anyone else, any other passage. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Sorry, I'm having to find it here. But here's what he says. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 23, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, and he is a jealous God. So it's in the context of idolatry. And God says, I am the only God. Let's get this straight. You need to understand this. There's other gods in your life. You're bowing down to other things. There's other things that are so important that they're more important and they take up more time in your life than me. It's idolatry. And I am a consuming fire and I will burn it out of your life. Because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's a convicting word. In a couple pages later, Deuteronomy 9, this is when just before the Israelites are about to go across the Jordan, Deuteronomy 9, verse 3, I think it's going to be on the screen, it says this, but be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you. He goes ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you, talking about the enemies, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly. So here's another thing to hold on to today. That when we talk about God as a consuming fire, it means he's going ahead of us and he's preparing the way. That he's burning up what needs to get burned up. That fire is protection, right? Know this today, that you are under the protective hand of God. And maybe you're feeling like you're really in the fire, you know? Or you're feeling like you're going through a really hard trial or a really hard time. I'm sure that the Israelites, as they were about to cross the Jordan and face those giants, they weren't all excited about doing that. And that's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy 9, where God says, I'll be like a fire. I'm going to go ahead of you. I will be a consuming fire, and I'll prepare the way for you. Know this today, that he means that for you too. He's going ahead of you. He's a consuming fire. He protects you. You don't need to worry. He's protecting you. He will burn the straw and the stubble. He'll burn. He'll prepare a way. He'll make the way for you. He'll make the way. I mean, how many of you need that? Maybe you're not needing this. I need this in my life. All right. You need to know this. God, when we confess this, that my God, our God, is a consuming fire, it means that he's protecting me. I have this, like a ring of fire around me. Right? I like that image. I need to think about that on Mondays. And on Tuesdays, right? I got this ring of fire. There's nothing formed against me that can prosper. That's the word. Right? So know this, that when we talk about God as a consuming fire, he's a God who's righteous. He's a God who's a refiner. He's also a God who's a protector. He surrounds me because he consumes me with that fire. Another thing, and we know this from Scripture, is that when we talk about the fire of God, we talk about the guidance of God. Think particularly of the story of the Israelites going across the Red Sea and across the desert, and we're told that they were led by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night, and that fire was the Lord God himself, right? So when we talk, we need to know that, because when we talk about God being my consuming fire, what I really am confessing there is that he's my fire who's leading the way. He's shining a light that wouldn't be there otherwise. He's ahead of me, and the only thing I need to do is just go where the light is. Just follow the light. Just keep going where he is leading me. Know this today, that he's guiding you. He's guiding you from the very beginning of your life, from the very, very beginning of your walk with God, Mick. He's been guiding you. And that's the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? He is our guide. Read John. John talks about that. He is your guide. He will lead you. He will bring you where you need to be, because he is a consuming fire. You understanding that? So we're talking about the fire in terms of it being a guide and a protection and a refining fire, and about it representing the holiness and the absolute purity of God. And just want to add one more thing to it, and that's that when we talk about this consuming fire, it also means that he's a God who's got this burning, passionate love for people like me and you, right? That when it says, you see, here's the good news, is when I have Christ in my life, when I've received him and I accept him and I have the fire of the Holy Spirit living in me, that word consuming isn't a scary word anymore, because consuming can just be completely turned around. I am consumed by his love, right? I'm not afraid of God because of Jesus Christ, because of God the Son. I'm no longer afraid of this God of judgment or this God of the law that I can never keep, because I am redeemed by the grace of God. Amen? You say amen to that? Hallelujah? And when we speak of that consuming fire of God, there's something about that that speaks of the passion that God has for me. He loves me with a consuming fire, right? He loves me so much that he died for me. There's that consuming passion of God for me. You need to understand. We need to understand that. That's what it means when we say we need to worship God. We need to give thanks to God because he's a consuming fire. Well, for me, maybe the best part of that is the consuming fire of his love. He loves me so much. He loves you so much. He just looks at you and he goes, you are so important to me. I love you so much. I want you to be my child. I want you. I want you in my kingdom forever. Amen? We need to remember that, because we don't need to be afraid. And I like what we prayed, Joyce. Right? We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of this consuming fire who is our God, because he's a God who loves us with an undying and an unquenchable kind of love. But the reality is, there is a shakedown coming. And that's really also the heart of what he's saying here, is that, you know, there's a day coming, Jesus says, when I'm going to shake not only the earth, I'm going to shake the earth and the heavens. When we talk about the heavens, I'm reminded of, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, where he says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the authorities and against the powers of this dark world. And our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Did you hear that? That really our struggle, even though sometimes it looks very physical here on earth, the reality is our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that what's going on, and hear me today, what's going on, and I believe what's going to happen even more intensely in the days to come, is that there's a shakedown happening, and he's not just shaking the earth, but he's shaking the heavens. And that the shaking is happening in the spiritual places where the principalities and the powers are. We might see a bit of the results of that happening on the earth. We are seeing some of that, but we don't have any idea what kind of stuff is shaking in the heavens right now. There's a shaking happening. Because he says it. He says, I am going to shake down whatever can be shaken. And then he makes it really clear that the only thing that cannot be shaken is my kingdom. Right? Isn't that great? And so if you belong to the kingdom, you will not be shaken. Right? Whew. That's good. We put our confidence in so many things that are going to get shaken. And I just get this picture and, you know, one of those snow globes, you know, God picking up the snow globe and here we go, there's the heavens, right? And all the snow and it, I mean, if God wants to shake things down, he can shake it. He created it. He made it. We put so much of our confidence in the things around us or in our possessions or in ourselves. And you know what? All of that can be so easily shaken. You might have confidence or security in your pension or in your bank account. Some of you are laughing. What bank account? What pension? But you know, there are people, many, many people in our world today, that's where their security blanket is. It's in their RRSPs. You know, we've learned from history many, many times over that that money isn't worth anything. It can come to a point where it isn't worth, you can't even buy bread because there isn't any. You can't put your money, you put your faith and your trust in money. Or the health system. You can put your trust in the health system. You might be sorely disappointed. It'll be shaken. You put your trust in yourself. A lot of people are there. You go, well, I can't trust anyone else. I can't put my confidence in anyone else. I'm going to trust me. I will do this. I'll make this happen. And even you can be shaken. Right? We do not put our trust in our money, in our government, in our economy. We do not put our trust in insurance, even though they tell us we can, and they're the rock, right? They're not the rock. We only put our trust in Jesus. Amen? And I am a citizen. I know I'm going on too long here. I'll end this, but I'm a citizen of his kingdom. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I cannot be moved. I will not be shaken because I belong to Jesus Christ. Not because I have so much money. Not because I have a life insurance policy. Not because I'm a healthy, strong individual. But only because of Jesus. Jesus is my rock. And I am a citizen of his kingdom. And therefore, I'll get to the therefore finally. Therefore, we ought to worship him. And we ought to give him thanks. And we ought to worship him with reverence and awe. We need to come before him with some understanding that he is a big, amazing, holy, awesome God. Amen. Since therefore, we are citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord. We stand before you in awe and in wonder. You are an amazing God, and your love just leaves us speechless. We come before you today with reverence and with awe. And we just cry with the elders, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. We pray today that we will worship you in reverence and awe, and that we'll give thanks to you. You alone are God. Lord, remove every idol from our lives. Remove anything that is getting more playtime than you. That you and you alone are the one we worship. Thank you, Jesus, that because you are the mediator of a new covenant, that we have nothing to fear. Thank you that we are citizens of a kingdom that will never be shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, it's time to just stand in a circle, and we're going to sing a song as we do that. And come, I just encourage you today to let's put our words into action. Let's come with gratitude today. Come before God. He's a holy God. We're not gonna eat and drink quite yet. Just come and stand in a circle.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness cries to light, and trembles like a boy.
About what he's done. This is about the cross. This is about belonging. Know this today. You belong. You belong to God because of Jesus. Jesus said this bread is a symbol of our unity. We eat from one loaf, and we're reminded that we are one in the Spirit. We stand together, and we're reminded with the bread that this is the body. This is the body that he gave that was broken for you. And the wine is the new covenant. It's a reminder that it's all about the blood. None of us would have forgiveness of sins if it wasn't for his blood that he poured.
Thank you, Jesus.
So as we sing another song, just file by, come through, and Ted and Cheryl are going to break the bread, and they're going to serve you today. And then let's go back to our places, and we will eat and we will drink together. All right? Go ahead, Sherry, you can start.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awe and wonder consider thank you.
to be. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, let's give thanks. So he gave thanks and he said, this is my body. And I'm going to die for you because I love you so much. Take it, remember, and believe. Thank you, God. And to think today that from that first time when Jesus ate the bread and drank the wine with his disciples, that the church, for now more than a couple thousand years, has joined together and remembered and believed, that we stand together in this circle with a lot bigger circle, a larger circle of Christ followers, of people who have been consumed by that consuming fire. We stand with them. We stand with men and women of faith. We join our faith with those who also said that Christ is Lord. Amen? Isn't that great? One day, we'll be with them all. One day, we will be in that heavenly kingdom. One day, there will be no more tears, there'll be no more cancer, there'll be no more unemployment, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more divorce, there'll be no more addiction. One day, we will be in the kingdom of our King, of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we will reign with Him forever and forever. Jesus said, take and drink. This cup is the new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. Thank you, God. So God, receive all the glory today. We lift up your name, and we are so grateful for all the things that we've already said. For everything that's in our hearts, we just say thank you, Jesus. Thank you above all else for our salvation, for the cleansing of our sins, and for belonging to you and to your kingdom because of your grace. Thank you, God. We lift you up. We lift up your name. You alone are worthy. We worship you. We come before you with reverence and awe. And we come with gratitude. You are so great. You're so amazing. You're such a wonderful Savior. And we love you. And we worship you. And even though it seems like it's not enough, it's really all we have. We can never repay you. We can never do anything. It doesn't seem like enough. But what we can do is just say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one last song, but I'll give you this parting blessing before you go. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His peace. Lord, I come.
bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. God,
prayer, just come.
Deep. Great.